Okay.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing those from whom you learned, and that from childhood you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The quote inside is from Romans chapter 1, verses 11 through 12. For I want very much to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine.
Keep those references handy. The topic today is the church, and I'm rather passionate about this topic, and I think I can claim the high ground on this topic also, because I have a long pedigree in the church, a lot of genetic memory. As you know, I think I'm the fourth generation pastor in my family. Judy tells me it's actually seven generations that in my family there has been a pastor. And so I've seen a lot in the church, and a lot of shift in the church, historic creep, I call it, just a slow, insidious, inexorable change in church. And that's what I want to talk about today. Teresa's class is about hearing God. And God speaks to us in several ways, doesn't he? He speaks to us through scripture. He speaks to us through circumstances. He speaks to us through his creation. And he also speaks to us through other Christians. And as you know, last week, Rock and Kelly were up staying with us for the picnic. And they were with us for about 4 days. And I know that Brock and Kelly listen to this regularly. And Brock has also made me aware that there are several pastors that, unbeknownst to me, several pastors that plug into our ministry via the website and listen and use the material, which is an honor and a privilege and a responsibility on my part. So, pastors that are listening, I want you to plug in today. And I do have something to say to them and something to say to you here in the congregation. And the reason I brought up Brock and Kelly also, because God spoke to me through Brock. We had a conversation at our kitchen table, and it was about the church. And Brock also brought up Timothy. You know who Timothy is, right? Timothy was Paul's protege. Timothy was a young pastor that Paul was training. And so when that happens in my life, I shifted gears. I went off the topic that I was going to do, and I went on to this topic, and it's about the church. Here's two questions for you. What constitutes the church? First of all, what makes up the church? Number one question. And number two, what is the purpose of the church? Those are things you might want to, if you take notes, you might want to write those two questions down. What constitutes the church, number one, and what is the purpose of the church? Do you know the answer to those things? Well, let's talk about it. The church, first of all, what is the church? What constitutes the church? It is very simple. The church is sons and daughters of God, a family. That's the church. Okay, number two, what is the purpose of the church then? Again, very simple. And you heard me when I prayed for some of your requests this morning. I mentioned just about Heather and about Shirley and Ron and Scott. The purpose of the church, you as a son and daughter of God, your purpose is to reflect your Father, reflect the family resemblance into a groaning creation. Got it? Are there many opportunities in your life day by day to reflect him into a groaning creation? That's the purpose of the church. So that's what the church is. That's the purpose. Easy, simple. There is not this church, and there is not that church. It is all the same church. The difference is, the only difference should be, that we meet at different geographical locations, depending on where you live, depending on what is convenient for you, depending on what is close to you. That's what the church was. And what we're going to do today is look at the biblical. Yeah, how about that? Let's take the high road. We're going to take the biblical definition of the church instead of what we've made it. And I'm telling you, I have seen such a change. Not a good one, I'm afraid. It's the same church. It's the same family, only we meet in different locations. I looked at, through my Bible when I was preparing this, and I looked at Paul and Jesus. And I said, well, I wonder how they referred to the church. They're pretty good authorities, right? So I looked at Paul first. Paul and his Corinthian correspondence, both the first and the second correspondence with the Corinthians. Here's how he starts it out. He says, to God's church at Corinth, you see. To God's church, he says, at Ephesus. It's the same church. To God's church that happens to meet in Philippi. Jesus does the same thing in Revelation when he's telling John the seer what to write down. And Jesus says this, you know, he sends letters to the seven churches in Revelation. That's how it starts out. And Jesus says, hey, John, to the angel of God's church at Laodicea. And he does that with all the seven churches. He doesn't say to the church that is the Laodicean church and then the church that is the Sardis church. He says, to the church at this place. Do you see that? I want you to clearly understand this because it's very important. God's church is a worldwide family. As promised to who? Where did that all start? Where did the whole family thing come out? Well, of course, Genesis 12 through 17, right? When God decides to partner with Abraham. And he comes to Abraham, and what does he say to him? What does he want Abraham to do? He says, Abraham, I have a vision. And my vision is a worldwide family. That's God's vision. Isn't that exciting? That God has a plan and a vision, and he wants a worldwide family. And he says, Abraham, you're going to be the father of my worldwide family, and it's going to consist of all nations. There's not going to be any kind of distinguishing mark of this family except one thing. They're all going to have a genetic predisposition. They're all going to have a genetic familiarity, and that is they're all going to have faith in Jesus of Nazareth. That's going to be the thing that binds my family together. That's going to be the characteristic of my family. Regardless of where they are, regardless of where they meet, race, sex, doesn't matter. This is what they're going to look like. Think of it this way, so that you have this crystal clear. The Tim Davis family. Well, there is now the Tim Davis family in Powell, Tommy and Inga. There's the Tim Davis family in Lexington, Tad, Sarah, Rosebud, and Elena. There's the Tim Davis family on Garver Road, Tori, Vika, and Bonnie. There's the Tim Davis family at Black Locust Farm. You see that? Well, it's all the same family, but they just happen to be here, there, and everywhere. Now, there's something about that family, the Tim Davis family. We all kind of think alike, and then we all kind of act alike, and we all kind of have the same values, goals, and commitments. So it wouldn't matter if you went down to Powell or Garver Road or Lexington or Black Locust Farm. You would know, you would recognize the genetic traits of the Tim Davis family because, well, we grew up together. We all have the same kind of worldview. That's the church. We're a worldwide family. Are you getting this? This is interesting. Well, then here's the question for you. If that's the case, and it is, biblically, then what is this building that we call Newville? Or any other building or named institution? What is it? And here's another question. Why come here? If this isn't the church, this building, look, these walls are not the church. The church is sitting in the pews. You're the church. You're sons and daughters. The building is not the church. What is it then, and why come here? And this is a definition, this is Tim Davis's definition of the church, extrapolated from Paul's letter to the church at Rome. And Brock, perk up your ears here, because Brock and I were talking about this. It is a place of fellowship and instruction for sons and daughters of God, designed to enhance and facilitate your call, your identity, and your purpose. Okay? There's a lot there, and we're going to pick it apart. This place, any place, any named building, it is a place of fellowship and instruction. And here's where I'm going out on a limb. It's probably going to be sawed off behind me by many pastors when they're listening to this. For sons and daughters of God, designed to enhance and facilitate your identity and your purpose. We get to get, again, family. Our family gets together regularly. Why do we do that? If I had one of my sons that was rebellious, let's say, and I do not, thank God for that. But if I did, we would get together with them. Teresa and I have talked about this, so that they start thinking like a Davis again. Okay, we get together here as a family, so we start thinking like sons and daughters of God again. We need to do that. We need to get together. But the church is sons and daughters of God. This building is for sons and daughters of God. Oh, we'll welcome anybody in here. You don't have to be a son and daughter of God to come in this building. We're welcoming you in here. If you're not in the family, come in. Again, Brock and Kelly, I'm really going to pick on them today. You've heard of seeker churches, what's called a seeker church. Okay, now my particular bias, and I'm gonna take some heat for this. I do not sign on with that. I don't sign on with that. We don't change what we do as a family to accommodate guests that come into our home. This is what we do at the Davis family. This is who we are. This is how we act. This is what we enjoy. This is what we talk about. Now, Brock and Kelly, because they knew Tori from Delaware, started coming up. You know, Brock would come up here. Brock and Kelly would drive up here from Delaware for a long time and attend church here. And so how long did they come to our house after church for dinner? Like years, wasn't it? They would come every Sunday after church. They would come up and join our family for dinner. Least we could do because of all that drive that they made. When Brock and Kelly came into our home, let's say they're seekers. And they come into our home and we say, we get together as a family and we say, now, we have Brock and Kelly here, so we're going to have to change who we are. We're going to have to change our values, goals, and commitments to accommodate them. No, we didn't do any of that. We were who we were. And when we did that, Brock and Kelly started to understand what our family was about. They learned what we valued, and they were attracted to that. And we've become very good friends with them. And Brock and Kelly are our adopted sons and daughters of Teresa and myself. But we didn't dilute the Davis characteristic because they came into our home. This is who we are. Is this making sense? This is a place of fellowship and instruction for sons and daughters of God. This is our thing. We look at Solomon. Solomon got into a mess, didn't he? Solomon built the temple. Great. It became such an edifice. He had such an infrastructure, and he had so much overhead, so much expense to run that thing. What did he do? Remember? Nathan, I know you know. You know what he did? He made it a secret. He made it a secret temple. He had to bring more people in to pay for the light bill. So he put two golden calves outside the temple. Imagine that. You know, hadn't Israel already learned something about that, the golden calves? You'd think. No. He brought two golden calves and put them outside the temple because he wanted the seekers, the surrounding pagan nations, to feel comfortable and come in. Well, you know what happened there. 50 years later, the kingdom split. What happened soon after that? The temple is razed to the ground. Let's stay who we are. Let's make this place for us. Don't you need that? I do. I think we need to do that. I'm going to show you in Scripture why that is absolutely biblical. Look at your quote. Can you turn inside your bulletin there and look at the quote? Paul to Rome. Now, Paul's writing a letter to Rome. And he's writing to, God's church that happened to meet at Rome. Same worldwide family, same worldwide church. Why should you come here? Why come to this building? Why come to this place? Well, if this building isn't the church, Tim, you're leaving me off the hook. I'm going to stay home and I'm going to watch TV. I can get everything I need from television. From a televangelist, nothing wrong with that. If you are housebound and you can't do anything else, yes, I think that's a good thing to do. Teresa made a comment, and I asked her if I could quote her on this today. And after we read this, what Paul says of the church at Rome, we'll understand this. Teresa said, and this is absolutely like we were sitting on the porch last night, you don't go to church for yourself. Teresa Davis, you don't go to church for yourself. What do you think of that? Look what Paul says. For I want very much, and here's what you might want to circle, to see you. How much eye contact do you make with people when you are staying home? Is eye contact important in communication? You know, I make eye contact with my patients. I have to, because something happens with eye contact. That's what Paul's saying here. There's a Dr. Stuart White. He's a chiropractor from Texas, and he's a tremendous speaker. And Teresa and I were at one of his seminars, and he said this about eye contact. Did you have trouble with eye contact? Sometimes. You know why? Here's what happens. Stuart White says, into me you see, and therefore into me you come. Into you I see, and into you I come. Eye contact, getting together with each other. There is an energy, an intangible, transference of thoughts and of knowledge, and something that is impossible to get otherwise without getting together. Paul says, I want to see you. See, this isn't an online course. You know, that's a big thing now. Teresa, professor over at the seminary and at the university at Ashland, and now the big thing over at the university, not so much at the seminary yet, but at the university, it's these online courses. You can stay home, get on your computer, and you can get a college degree and never see your instructor, never see your classmates. Well, boy, we lose a lot there. Why? What happens when we get together and I look at you and you look at me? Look what happens. Paul says, I want very much to see you. Why, Paul? Why is it so important that you see me? Why is it important that you come here and I see you and you see me? That I may impart to you some spiritual gift. The church and the buildings that we meet in is for God's sons and daughters to hang together, look at each other, and impart a spiritual gift to each other. When you when you stay home, quite frankly, it's not about you. You've hurt somebody. I am so passionately plugged into this. You don't come to church, Teresa says, for yourself. Right on. You come and you see each other, your brothers and sisters, so that you may impart some spiritual gift to strengthen them. And then what did he say? That is, Paul says, he catches himself. Well, yeah, I'm going to strengthen you. But you know what, Paul says, now that I think about it? It's to be mutually encouraged. You're going to encourage me by each other's what? Each other's faith, both yours and mine. The gathering that we do, the meeting that we do, is so this process, Romans 1, 11, and 12, that process takes place on a Sunday morning in this building on Possum Run Road. Now, I don't know about you. My weeks are tough. Sandy and Carol, are they tough? We had 130 patients this week. A lot of pain and hurting people. And that takes a lot of energy to deal with it. You deal with it too. You got Heather, you're dealing with issues. A lot of energy is coming out of you. Shirley and Ron, you're dealing with Bill's sickness. A lot of energy is going out of you. Do you think it might be important that we strengthen one another and we encourage one another, and your faith strengthens me and my strength strengthens you, and we leave here ready to reflect him and do battle with the nits and the dragons, which I'm going to see tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Is this making sense? So if you're the enemy, and the enemy can cite scripture for his purposes, thank you, Mr. Shakespeare. Yeah, he can. He knows the book. If you're the enemy, and you know this process, what are you going to do? Keep people home. Isolate you. And the enemy knows, not only you get hurt, you hurt somebody else by extension. Because it's important for us to see each other so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you to strengthen you. Well, that is actually to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. What's this got to do with a seeker church? Plenty. spiritual gifts need to be imparted to one another through our mutual faith. Right? That's what Paul says here. If seekers, those not in the family, want to come in, thank God. Great. But you know what? What they're going to experience is the exchange of spiritual gifts and mutual encouragement and faith. That's what they should see. I'm not going to change the message because somebody has come in that is a seeker. I'm going to minister to sons and daughters of God. Because this is a place of fellowship and instruction for the family. And it's ordered to facilitate and encourage your identity and your purpose. I'm not going to deviate from that. See, that's the way it used to be. It was always that way. There's been a paradigm shift in the thinking about what church is. Oh, I know I'm in a minority. I know that. But I also am absolutely clear, and I know this is right. I'm certain of it. Look at the... Then we have Romans 1. Listen to what else Paul says. Romans 1:7. He says, to all who are in Rome... Well, no, he doesn't. He says, but here's the thing. Here's who I'm talking to. All who are in Rome who... Two things. You're loved by God, and you're called as a saint. Paul says, that's who I'm talking to. All who are in Rome, loved by God, well, then you're a son or a daughter, right? If you're loved by God, that's your identity, okay? Boom, that's your identity. And then he gives the purpose. What's the purpose of being loved by God? What's the purpose of being a son or a daughter? Paul says, you're called as a saint. Oh, if someone else happened to pick up the letter who isn't loved by God, well, they're welcome to read it, and I hope that they do, Paul would say. But you know what? Listen, we need an arena just for ourselves sometimes, I think. Don't we? Well, we get enough of the world 6 days a week. We need one day a week where we can be a little selfish. And in that, we encourage and strengthen each other. And through that, you are going to go out and be the church. You're going to reflect your Father into a groaning creation. We see a lot of groaning. Into a groaning creation. This is our faith. This is what we are to do. I used to think that being a Christian was a list of things that you just didn't do. That's being a Christian. And then I realized when God spoke to me, you know, he said, Tim, your faith isn't about you. Your faith is about others. And if I don't have a place like this, and if you stay home from a place like this, you lose, others lose. This is important. I also know it's a hard sell. I'm way ahead of the curve on that. I know this is a hard sell. I know that things have changed so much in the church. Depressingly so. This fellowship, Newville, or any other, is to enhance and facilitate our calling, our identity and purpose, saints. Well, how's that done? Is this interesting? And is it also unpopular? Look around. Is it unpopular? I hear so many people say, Well, the pastor doesn't really do expositional preaching from Scripture, but they got a great music program. The music is over the top. The pastor really isn't that, doesn't preach from Scripture, but the program for the kids is just fantastic. The pastor doesn't really do expositional preaching, but wow, the media program they've got going. They got flat screens everywhere. We could even stay downstairs and drink coffee and watch flat screen service. We don't even have to go up. It's great. The facility is top-notch, state-of-the-art. Well, the pastor doesn't really preach from Scripture, but the service time, the time that they have a service on Saturday night. I don't even have to get up on Sunday. That, listen, that's where we're at. I've heard Christians say this to me. God help us. No, the pastor doesn't preach from the word, but it offers me this. And what does it offer? It feeds into self-centeredness. It feeds into, well, it is all about me. And I can see that the church staff is going to bend over backwards to make sure that I get exactly what I want. And if I don't, I'm getting in my car and I'm going down the road because there's another mega church right down the road that will do this for me. Oh, no, they don't preach Scripture, but they do this for me. Yeah, I'm passionate about this. I looked in my study. I got a little booklet. William Davis, my great-grandfather, used to have a church in Ashland. Sherrick Davis, my grandfather, had a church right down here at Butler, Mount Sinai. And I got his notebook at home, and it's sitting on my in my study. And I'll pass it on to the son that goes into the ministry. And Tom, Ted, Tori, one of you is going to go into the ministry. I mean, you got seven generations behind you. You know it's not going to stop. One of you is going to be the eighth. And I'm going to give you this book. I looked through that book and I thought, well, now how did my grandfather, Sherrick, preach? And I looked through it and you know what he did? Expositional preaching. Scripture. I'm reminded of Jesus in John chapter 6 or 7 maybe. And you've heard me say this example before, but it is so apropos to the seeker church. He had a lot of seekers. He fed them. 5,000 people. He fed them fish and bread, and they're all there. Hey, this is a great facility. He didn't give his message that first day. He did not give the message. Second day, they all come back. The seekers. Jesus did not water down the message that second day. He didn't feed them. He started to talk about the kingdom of God. Do you know what they did? You know Scripture? Yeah, you know what they did, Nathan? They left. And Jesus, you know, and I identify, here's where Jesus, the similarity between Jesus and I begin and end. Jesus looked around, and he's got 12 guys sitting around him. That's all. Scripture's clear on this. 5,000 people walk away. And he looks at them and he says, are you going to leave too? Because he got to the heart of the kingdom of God message. And he didn't feed them. And they left. It's a hard place to be. I'm not asking for sympathy. But I'm just telling you, if you hold the line on the biblical concept of church, It's a tough road. So how is that done? And pastors, if you're listening, don't unplug yet. Stay with me. I will next week show exactly how this is done and why it is biblical when we go over the 2 Timothy passage. Why is that important? Because Paul's telling Timothy, listen, pastors, Paul is telling Timothy and all pastors how this is done. How sons and daughters of God are enhanced and facilitated in their purpose and identity. How do you do it? Paul tells Timothy, so I think this was a good introduction, and I think that maybe, I hope it piqued your interest, and maybe encouraged you, and maybe made you understand that, like any family, when you don't come to the family get-together, how do the people that are, how do they feel? How do the people in the family feel? Are you hurt? Are you hurt when one of your family doesn't come? Hey, we're having a dinner here. We'd like all the kids to come over, and one of them doesn't come over. How is that? The church is the same way. The church is a family. Let's not let the enemy win here. If you're looking for something to do this week in devotional, I would recommend that you look at the scripture on the back of the devotional and let the Spirit speak to you through that and study that, because next week we're going to unpack this. And next week I very much want to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to strengthen you. Well, that is actually to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, yours and mine. Let's pray. Lord and Master, pray you would bless this message, anoint it with your Spirit. Amen.